The text is the Gospel reading from John chapter 6. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Here ends our text. Seekers, according to evangelism gurus, are people with no connection to the church and who normally won't set foot in one. They're really seeking God, say the evangelism gurus, with all of their lost behavior. They just don't know it. So from the 80s on, churches have been trying to save seekers with seeker services. These are non-traditional worship services that try to make the seeker comfortable in church. Praise services are usually meant to be seeker services. That article in the newsletter, our newsletter, about a mission church in Michigan with Star Wars worship, they were trying to reach seekers. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with trying to reach the estimated 80% of people who won't go to a traditional service? What's wrong with seeking to save the seekers? Nothing. But let's see how our Lord does that. The crowd in our text is the 5,000 plus that Jesus fed last week. They were so pleased with Jesus, they sought to make him their king. Jesus declined that, sent the disciples by boat across the Sea of Galilee, back towards Capernaum, and went up on a mountain to pray. Then Jesus came walking on the water to the apostles and brought them safely across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Our text opens with the crowds following Jesus across the Sea of Galilee. They were seeking Jesus. But what does Jesus tell them? They were seeking the wrong thing. Far from being non-confrontational with the seekers, Jesus smacked them right in the chops. He said, "You seek me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you had your fill." That Greek phrase, "had your fill," that is normally used for animals. When it's used for men, it's always in an insulting way. Something like, "You seek me because you had your bellies filled." Seeker services compliment the seeker. They tell him or her that they have all along been seeking the right thing, that is God. It's just the way the church has packaged God has turned them off. Seeker services appeal to the flesh of the seeker. He or she got to be comfortable with the seats, with the music, with the atmosphere. Jesus says that's a bunch of nonsense. The crowd was seeking Jesus because they were made comfortable by him, by being fed by him, because he gave them what they wanted. But Jesus says, well, that's no reason to seek him. They sought the ordinary when they ought to have been seeking the extraordinary. Then Jesus says a rather strange thing. He says, "God has something better to work for than food that spoils." That bothers us. If Jesus had just said, "Don't work for food that spoils," well, we could accept that. But he goes on to say, "Work for food that endures to eternal life." Jesus is speaking their language, the language of the law, which is the only language fallen people can understand or speak of on their own. To the seeker, the good things in life can only come by their working. Jesus accepts that premise, but says, better to work for that which endures than for that which spoils. This crowd of earnest seekers, which any church would be delighted to have, which any pastor would be delighted to preach to, is told by Pastor Jesus, you're seeking the wrong thing. All the rules of marketing, all the rules of salesmanship, all the rules of sociology, which are the Bibles of the seeker service, they say, don't tell them that. The best of the seeker services attempt to springboard off what the seekers seek, not dash it to the ground. They come seeking help, wealth, and happiness in life. We'll use that. Tell them these can only be found in God. The worst of the seeker services tell them these are the things that God wants to give them. Health, wealth, and happiness. Nobody says, you're all seeking the wrong thing. And nobody but nobody tells the seeker that the health, the wealth, and the happiness they seek is only going to spoil and rot anyways. But friends, that's the God-honest truth, isn't it? Well, health might last until you die, but more likely it's only going to last till it fails. Wealth might last you until you die, but then of course it's useless to you. Happiness in the home, peace in your marriage, happiness and peace in all of your relationships, that would indeed be a great thing. But in this fallen world, that only exists till someone wants to fight with you. This stuff is a real downer. This stuff turns seekers off. They don't want to be reminded of sin, death, and the devil. They want to hear of possibilities. They want to hear of hope. They want to hear of a new day. They want to be told of Easter, but not of Good Friday. They want to be told of grace, but not of sin. They want to be told of life, but not of death. They want to be told of pardon, but not of judgment. Seekers, say the experts, don't want to hear and should not be told what Jesus tells them here, that what they are seeking is only going to rot. You can have health, wealth, and happiness now, says Jesus, but they will not last you. They'll leave you dying of hunger and thirst in eternity. Did you hear that? Every last one of you is going the way of all flesh. Eat all you want now. Drink all you want now. Admire that healthy body of yours in the mirror. But do not look too closely, or you might just see the worms crawling out of your nose and the skin withering on your bones. You're going the way of all flesh, and all the good feelings, all the spiritual feelings, all the religious feelings you can muster are not going to prevent that or even slow it down. You're going the way of all flesh, and that will not change no matter how successful you are at putting that troubling thought out of your mind. Get lost in your hobbies. Get lost in helping others. Get lost in raising your family and succeeding at work. Even get lost in doing things in and for the church. And you still will not endure forever. Even now your flesh is spoiling, is rotting. Seeking food to extend it, seeking God to extend it, that's no answer. Did you catch that, seeker? You don't need this life extended. But that is what all of us are seeking. Like the kid playing outside in the summer. All we seek is just 15 or even 5 more minutes. Just 15 more years, God. Just 5 more years. Just 5 more days. Just 5 more hours. And eventually, our seeking will come down to just 5 more minutes of life. But that's not what we really need. Now the more sophisticated seekers of seekers, they know that. So they don't offer seekers this life extended by health, wealth, or happiness. No, they offer this life transcended by religious feelings, by religious truth, or by religious works. See, this really is nothing but Eastern pagan religion. Hinduism and Buddhism teach that religion is the way to get beyond the poverty, the sadness, and the death of this life. You don't defeat them. You rise above them till they just don't matter anymore. We seek life extended, or we seek a transcendent life where we don't feel the poverty, the sadness, and the death. But what we really need is life. And Jesus says he's the bread of God who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. What a transition. From a crowd seeking bread to sustain this meager physical life, Jesus declares that he's the bread of God that gives life to the world. He flat out says, I am the bread of life. This is the first of the so-called I am passages in the book of John. Jesus is going to go on to say, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life. That's how Jesus asserts he's the God they and you need. You recall in the Old Testament when Moses asked God to reveal himself, God said, I am that I am. The great I am from the burning bush, the great I am from Mount Sinai, the great I am that dwells in the cloud above the tabernacle stood before them in Jesus. Apart from God, nothing lives. Those in hell are in eternal death. Why? Because they're forever separated from God. You and I are born separated from God because we're born of sinners. Seek as you may, work as you will never overcome this separation. Seek God so badly you ache for him. Give up your health, give up your wealth, give up your happiness for him, and you still will not find him. Work in books, work at doing good, work at in suffering well, and you're still not going to be able to cross over to God. Then how do you get there? Only if God comes to you. Did you catch that at the very beginning? It was subtle. Jesus says, don't work for food that rots, but work for food that is eternal, which the Son of Man will give you. See, you don't work for that which is given. What you need for this life and the next is God. Yet there is this yawning chasm between you and God. In our text, Jesus announces that he has bridged the chasm in the name of God. He, the great I am in flesh and blood, is here to feed you the bread of life. In yourself, only death is at work. You know that. You sense that. Oh, sometimes you can forget death, but it always returns to you as something that rightly belongs to you. Jesus is God in flesh and blood, and therefore Jesus is life itself. More importantly, Jesus is God's life for you. God did not become a man for his sake, but for yours. He became man to bring his life to you. But in order to give it to you, he had to do what you could not do. Only perfect men and women can live forever, you know. But there stood the shattered Ten Commandments, proving that you are not perfect. God the Son became man to keep every one of those shattered commandments. Only men and women who don't have a debt of sinfulness, though, can live forever. Someone had not only to keep the shattered commandments, but to pay for them being broken. God the Son did that too, by dying the eternal death we deserve on the accursed cross. They came seeking the bread they wanted. Jesus says, all the bread in the world won't keep you alive. I am the bread of life you need. I am food that endures to eternal life. I am the one who gives life to the world. He who comes to me will never go hungry. You're going to find in the Sundays to come, as we go further into this account, that most of these seekers turn away from Jesus. His body and his blood were not what they sought. They wanted a healthier, happier, wealthier body and blood of their own, not one who gave up his body and blood to redeem them so they could eat his body and drink his blood for everlasting life. But dear friends, the only way to save seekers, the only way to save you, is by giving them and you what you need, not what you in your fallenness seek. Repent of seeking the bread that spoils, and eat the bread of life which you need to live eternally. Eat the bread of life who endures through sickness, sadness, poverty, and even death. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.